But we're going to give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's come to scripture reading. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 to 23. Though I am free and belong to no one, Testing. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share it in its blessing. This is the word of God.
Thanks.
Please be seated. Now let's put our hands together and welcome Pastor Lee Kai.
Yeah. Tongue twisting verses here. Let's come before the Lord and pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us here. We are not here by chance. I believe that, Lord, you have something to speak to our heart. May your Holy Spirit soften, prepare our heart to receive your word, so that as we receive the word from you, we're able to respond by faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The title for today's sermon is Becoming the Bridge for the Gospel. Before that, we're going to watch a very short video clip. Can someone help me with the video clip? Hello? Going to watch a video clip.
Maybe the sweetest tape you'll ever see.
Some technical issues.
Get your kids over here to show them. This is a good example of a brother helping his little sister.
How sweet it is, right? Not sure whether Javis, you do that to Jenna to walk across, or probably Jenna walk on Javis. I think when we see the video, the little girl, we're not able to cross the drain. The brother did not hesitate. The brother also lecture her or give her a big talk. Instead, just a simple action, just lie down, and became the bridge to let the little sister to walk over him, to cross to the other side. I think this one we want to talk about becoming the bridge for the gospel. And this is what Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians. He said that, I become all things to all men, not to please them and not to market the gospel, but willingly to lay down his rights, his comfort, his dignity, so that people can cross from one side of the death to life through him. So today we are not going to discuss about how to build bridges, even though the title given to me is Building Bridges, but I think I tweeted the title a bit to Becoming a Bridge for the Gospel. So a very practical question to ask you, are you willing to become a bridge for the gospel? Are you willing to become a bridge for the gospel? If let's say further on, if becoming a bridge of a gospel, you might be stained with mud. Are you willing? If becoming a bridge for the gospel, you may get yourself being stepped on, people to walk across you, are you still willing? And Paul answered in a straight, absolute, yes, I am willing. In Corinthians 9, that's what we read today. Is it shown on the screen? As you look at the five short verses, there are six things that keep repeating itself. the word to win, or the last part is, I might save some. It is the same thing, to win. So you see in these short verses, the key or the main idea of these five verses here is to becoming the bridge. It's a bit different from what I see and what I see here. Becoming the bridge for the gospel to reach other for Christ. Paul is talking, willing to become the bridge so that he can win other for Christ. So let's see, when you want to become a bridge for the gospel, what is the first thing you need to do? The first thing is to be willing to yield. Willing to yield. The verses, I have to keep turning back. The verses here written is, though I'm free and I belong to no one, but I've made myself a slave to everyone. If you read these two words together, free and slave, this is a paradox. That means these two things are very contradicting. And slave is a very strong word. Who would you, in the right mind, describe yourself? I'm a slave of Mark. I'm a slave. Who do you say that? I'm a slave for whoever. Slave is the lowest status in the whole social society during that time. Slave is a person who belongs only to the master as an object, not even a human. A slave is an object, a possession by the master. He has no right on his own. Do you know who Paul is? Paul is a Roman citizen. Paul is well known, highly educated, graduated from respected school and also respected teacher. And who in the right mind would degrade himself to become a slave? But as we look at here, we see that Paul is not using beautiful jargons to write out in his sermon to impress people. But in real life, he really lived this out. So in the bigger context, we see in the bigger context here, the first few verses before, verse 1 to verse 18, what is Paul talking over here? He planted the church of Corinth. He went to Corinth, this city, and planted the church there. He stayed there to shepherd them for 1.5 years. So by right, he's a spiritual father of this church of Corinthian. And by being a pastor, being a missionary, he so-called had the right to get them to support him. Because being a missionary, they don't have financial support. So this is the church that he planted, he ministered to. They have to support him. But Paul is willing to forfeit the right for the sake of the gospel integrity. So further on, in a broader context, a chapter before, 1 Corinthians 8, people are discussing about whether can they eat meat used to worship for idols. And Paul, by all knowledge, he said, it's okay, by no means, go ahead and eat. But because for the sake of the weaker believer, he's willing to yield his right to eat, even having the right knowledge. So we can see here, the reason that Paul is willing to yield is very clear from just what we read. It's for the sake of winning as many as possible. He's willing to surrender his rights, his habits, his comfort for the sake of helping others to know Christ. This is very clear. But sometimes we talk about paying the price. In this world, it's screaming aloud that claim your right, defend your right, especially when you have America, defend for your right, you deserve it. Does Paul's choice here seems a bit more radical? It don't flow along with the world's trend. Or another question we put in, is it worth to yield everything to win the soul of man? Is it worth to yield everything to win the soul of man? Do we know this person? Those from China, you should know. Those who watch sports, you should know. Who is this person? It's from China. Quan Hong Chan. It doesn't ring a bell, so sorry. I'm speaking to a different generation. Quan Hong Chan in 2020 Tokyo Olympic, she broke the record. At the age of 14, she got all three gold medals. And nobody got the record before because all score is full marks. You know, diving, how difficult to get full marks. All judges gave her full marks straight across three times. And never in record had people did that before. So she was very much put in the limelight. But do we know the hidden cause of her glory behind this gold medal. We know the hidden cause. She got no childhood. While other children go enjoy, have fun and play, go for classes, she spends 6 to 7 hours daily to be trained in this diving. Do you know what? When she dive, have you ever dive until you bleed? But she dives, she practiced so much until her hand bleed. That means the impact of hitting the water, causing her hand to bleed. That's how hard she practiced daily. The cause behind, family struggles. Her parents are both farmers. Her mom was chronically ill. And Chen Hongcheng wanted to work, train hard to win money so that she can bring her mom for treatment. Pressure of a nation. You know, China is very competitive, especially in diving. So they got a lot of choices to choose. So once you make a mistake, you can be out of the national team. So that's how brutal it is to be in the national team, to go for Olympic. So to gain 3 gold medals is really beyond what we can imagine. Over many years of training, she sustained a lot of injury. You know, diving, 10-meter diving, it's not just jump down, it's 10-meter diving. She sustained a lot of injury in her body. And not just that, she was enclosed in a place for training, a lot of loneliness, a lot of exhaustion. And when the reporter asked her, when she got the gold medal, when asked her, do you regret it? And she smiled with the gold medal beside and said, it was worth it. Yes, looking at the gold medal, she find it was worth all the pain. You see, every one of us, we have some certain thing that we see valuable, that we're willing to exchange whatever thing to in order to gain that. You're willing to spend time for something. You're willing to spend sleepless night, spend your money, spend all your life to pour in something you find something is worthwhile. I think in the Bible, let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3. You see, the Bible says very clearly, an athlete spends years over years for training to just to get the gold medal. And this thing will not last. Who will remember her 10 years later? I don't just about 10 years. I just ask, you know, who knows her? Nobody knows her. An Olympic 3 gold medalist. Nobody knows her over here. A crown that will not last. She worked so hard, but it will not last. That's what the Bible says. If an unsaved person without an eternal mindset would strive so much just for a temporal crown, how much more as a Christian having the eternal perspective would strive for the crown that will last forever? The crown that will last forever is the soul of man. This will become seems alien to you. That's my generation. It's in the 80s and 90s TV series. And everybody watch, Oh, you watch Kai Sing? Wow, you're in your 40s? No. Wow, you watch with your parents, huh? There's a new, okay, this is an older series. This is called Star Trek. Okay, I think that there are new episodes that are being renewed. And these are older series, Star Trek. It was quite popular during our days. So there's a story that told that once that there's a something happened to Captain Kirk. Do you know which Captain Kirk? Kai Sing, you know which Captain Kirk? Okay, maybe different generation. Captain Kirk is the one on the left side, look normal. Look normal without the pierced ear. Okay, that one is Captain Kirk. During a space mission, there's some a strange accident happened that Captain Kirk was lost in space. During the teleport, they jump from one place to the other place. He's lost over in space. The crew couldn't see him, couldn't hear him. He seems to be gone forever. And some urge the crew to move on and save themselves. If not, it'd be before it's too late. So they are in danger. And staying there could risk the entire ship to be destroyed. So the second in command is the one with the pierced ear called Spock. His name is Spock. He's second in command. He refuses to leave. He believed that Captain Kirk is somewhere around in the space, trapped there, and he's still there. While time is running out and the crew is pressurizing Spock to move on, better fly the ship. Everybody is watching as the clock starting to click. And one mistake by waiting, the entire ship and the crew will be destroyed. When someone asked why Spock is willing to take the risk just for one man, he said something unforgettable. He said that if we abandon him now, he's lost forever in the space. For us, it may be ours, but for him, it will be eternal, eternity. I think it's true for us, sometimes it may be inconvenience for hours. It may be inconvenience for just listening to someone rattling. It may take hours. But for that person, for that soul, it'll be eternity if he misses Jesus out in his life. And that's why Paul is willing to pay to yield everything for the sake of the soul. He's willing even to the extent to become the slave, to win as many as possible. Because he knew the destiny of a soul. Without Christ, they will perish forever in hell. Bridges exist for walking, to bring one person from one end to the other end. Our life also should exist to allow people to cross, to walk over us, to know Christ. And Paul willingly gave out his rights, his comfort, his preferences, so that others can walk across to meet Jesus. And would you do that? Would you be willing to put down your rights, your comfort, in order to reach others for Christ? Spock is willing to risk everything for his captain because eternity means everything to him. And how far are we willing to pay the price? For an athlete, the price she paid is only temporal, or the crown she gained is only temporal. We talk about willing to yield. The second thing we talk about is not about the attitude. Besides willing to yield, we're also willing to adapt. Willing to adapt. Help me the next pointer. Okay, I think mine is hanged there. Okay, never mind, it's okay. Willing to adapt. And Paul say here, to the Jews, I became a Jew. To those under the law, I became like the one under the law. To those who not having the law, I became like one not having the law. And this is tongue twisting. To the weak, I became weak. I have become all things to all people. Do you know what? When Paul want to minister to the Jews with his disciple Timothy. Timothy is, his father is a Greek father. His mom is a Jewish. But by origin of his race, is not a Jew. He's supposed to consider a Gentile. But for Gentiles to minister to Jews is a bit difficult. It's not possible. So in order to do that, to bridge the gap, he led Timothy to be circumcised. He's not a child to be circumcised, but he's an adult already. He let him to be circumcised. He's willing to go to that extent to let him to be a circumcised. Secondly, when they engage Gentiles, pagan, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, let's read the verse together. Can you read that? Can you read that? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, take note. This is important thing for those who sign up for mission trip Ubon. If you are going to reach out to others, you want to serve others in their own culture, when people extend anything to you, you better eat. I told my three children, especially one of them, who's very picky and with cleanliness, I keep reminding that particular child, you have to eat everything offered to you. I think that is the kind of mindset that we have talked about adapting. What is adapting? Willing to adapt. That means we have to go from our level to their level in humility and in love to enter into the world. But not compromising on truth. We have to go to their level to willing to be adapt. And one main reason they were not willing to adapt, one key reason is because of pride. Pride is what? Pride means that my way is superior. Others should change for me. We may not say it out, but actually we sometimes subtly portray it out. Why should I change? Why should I change for you? When we are not willing to change for others, this is pride. Because we think we are better. And this is exactly the problem in the Church of Corinthians, what happened during the Lord's Supper. Just to give a bit of background understanding, you know, our church have Holy Communion once a month. The way we partake this Holy Communion, we have a small cup of grape juice or wine and a small wafer, and that's it. But in the culture during that time, when they have the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, it's not a small cup. It's a big portion. They call it the love feast. What do? They do what we call Singaporean style, it's potluck. You cook all the food as much as you can, then you bring to church, and let's have a meal, have a buffet together, potluck. That was exactly the Lord's Supper they had during the first century. People bring their food along. But you know, in the culture of Greco-Roman culture, when they eat, it's a bit different. I'm not sure if you've got great-grandparents, I think they eat in such a style. The guests will come and eat in the dining room, in the living room. The honorable guests will sit with the host. The children, the women, and even the slave will sit at the outer court. Why? Because they belong to the lower status. I'm not sure if you experienced that your generation may not. Maybe your great-grandparents, they do that. They wouldn't eat together because you belong to the outer, the lower status. And even the Corinthian Christian, even they receive Christ, they subconsciously bring this worldly culture into the church and it influenced the church. So these rich Christians, or these well-to-do Christians, these elite Christians, when they receive Christ, they have the Lord's Supper, they bring a lot of good food together. And when they come together, they don't wait for the rest to join in. When they bring all the food, oh, let's start eating. Let's start eating. And some of them even got drunk. So when the poor, those who are a bit more well-to-do, because of labor, they need to do their work, when they come late for the Lord's Supper, they just go there and stare, humiliated. Nothing much left for them to eat. And that was exactly what happened in the church of Corinthians. The rich had turned the Lord's Supper into a social clique, a social hierarchy, where they do the networking with their people of their own culture or the rich. This is exactly the opposite of the gospel. And Paul strongly reprimanded them, say, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. Paul scolded them. This is not the way you should have your Lord's Supper. In today's context, we may not starve the poor in our communion or even in our feast, but sometimes we subtly exclude them in certain ways. Because we form our own cliques where people belong to my kind, where people belong to my own preferences, my interests can only fit in. And those outside who do not belong to this category, we do not make any deliberate effort just to welcome them, to make them feel easy at home. We don't. Why? I think one of the mindsets we probably have, I'm happy I found my clique because they get my jokes. Those outside my circle, they're not my problem. It's not my job to chase after everyone. After all, I'm not the pastor of this church. I'm just a member here for worship. I'll stick with who makes me comfortable. And very sadly, and this is the mindset of the world we bring into our church also, even after we're being saved. And what did Paul say to it? Paul said in 1 Corinthians, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Next time when you have your fellowship together, remember this is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ that I have paid for. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. Don't just think about yourself, your own preferences, your own friend, your own clique. Think about others who may not feel comfortable, who probably left out. And the last part is say, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Do you just think about yourself and just eat and let's go and let's have our own fun? But it is not what a redeemed life looks like or a gospel life looks like. Care for others. It's more than just physical togetherness. It's a willingness to adapt, to build a bridge to others who are different from us. When we do this, we are in remembrance of Jesus. Let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3. Not looking into your own interests, but look to the interests of others. So next time when you're in your fellowship, look out. Look out for others who probably are left out. Invite them in. Get to know them. Listen to them. Be interested to them. I just glance around. I see this person is not around. I thought it's good to give it its illustration. Last week, I'm not sure, Emmanuel Paiman just got baptized a few weeks ago. Last week, he came. He's not here, right? I can use it. Last week, he came to our service. Third service is a bit not easy for elderly because we are all youngsters. We elderly may feel a bit out of place. He sat at the last row on this section. I was just standing behind. I thank God Hwai Ern sat beside him throughout the whole service. If let's say one person sit over there, how would that person feel in one corner? He'll feel awkward because all of you are squeezed here together. Nobody sit with him. But one particular brave soul is willing to just sit beside him. And this is called willing to adapt. He didn't do anything much. He didn't say anything, just sitting there, accompanying him throughout the whole service. So well done, huh? Well, Hwai Ern. That's a good, tender heart to serve the Lord. And not just to commend him. I think I want to commend many tertiary or young adult or youth. We had Sentosa, I'm not sure whether you recall, when Indian migrant workers to we serve them there. You all organize events, you all organize games, you play with them. Okay, that's your role and that's your task you're being entrusted. And once the game's done and that's it, you can go to the beach and play your beach ball or everything. But when the Indian migrant workers was taking their lunch box there, they sit on the ground to eat. I'm so proud of our youth. They join in among them and sit with them to talk. I think Jenna, Xingxian, Jia Hui, a number of you guys, Jun Xiang, I can't name all, man. Forgive me, I miss out your name. But I saw it and I'm really proud of you. That's the kind of servanthood that we're willing. It's not that I'm done with my jobs. I play with them, lead the game. But I think it's being there personally to sit with them and just have meals to get to know them. I have difficulty understanding their English because Indian English is a bit different compared to ours. Correct? But I think the willingness just to adapt, even you may not understand everything, I think that is a spirit Paul is talking about. I think the best model that we have is Jesus Christ. I'm a bit lost here. Help me the next click. Why is always get hanged there? Okay, let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3. Our best model is Jesus Christ, who being God, made himself nothing by taking the very nature, or not just human, just the nature of slave, servant, to be among us, to serve us. And how much more, if our Lord Jesus had done that as an example model for us, how much more shouldn't we model after him? We're going to watch a short video, a testimony. This is a true testimony. Most of the time when we have your lunchtime, you'll eat with people that you know well, your colleagues. But she did something different. We're going to watch this video together. Let's play it.
When I attended my ex-colleague's funeral. It brought back memories of when I had a hectic schedule in that multinational company. I was often tempted to only eat with Christian colleagues or by myself to wind down. It dawned on me, we only eat with people we care for, value, and love. If we choose to eat with a certain group of friends, we are subtly sending a message of love, friendship, and bond to them. One day, God placed a burden in my heart to have lunch with this particular ex-colleague. Char siu rice was one of her favorites, and although I did not fancy it, I accompanied her faithfully. As she was very much older than I was, we did not have much in common to talk about. Most of the time, she talked and I listened. This lunch arrangement went on for a few years until I left the company. A few months ago, I discovered she was battling with cancer through a mutual ex-colleague. I asked if I could visit her. Thankfully, she agreed to my visit as she had kept the news away from many ex-colleagues. That morning, just like those lunch appointments, I sat beside her and listened to her struggles. I finally asked if I could share the gospel with her. And this time, I talked, and she listened to me attentively. She prayed to receive Christ that day and continued to grow in the faith through online sermons until she passed away. Certainty that my ex-colleague is in heaven, I now understand that we eat with our loved ones and friends so that we may feast with them eternally.
Today, are you willing to have lunch with someone outside of your social circle, outside your comfort zone, just to know the person, just to spend time to listen, to be interested in things that happen in his life? Not preaching, not sharing the gospel, just to listen. Earn the respect to preach. Earn before you preach, earn the respect first. Spend time investing in time to a person we may not be familiar with. Do it for Jesus. I'm so sorry that. It's said by David Platt, we don't change the gospel to reach the world. We change ourselves. We adapt. Are you willing to adapt? The last point, willing to share. Willing to share. The verse 23, he said, I do all this for the sake of the gospel so that I may share in its blessing. Yes, when we share the gospel, there are blessings that come along. The Bible did promises there are blessing rewards. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul talked about those believers in Thessalonians that they are his glory and joy. They are the crown of his glory and joy. Rewards are being promised when we do it for the Lord of for Christ. But over here, the way it's being translated, the word blessing is not there. It's being put in late. So if you strictly follow to the Greek text, you say that I do all these things for the sake of gospel so that I may become a partaker of the gospel. It's talking about becoming a partaker of the gospel. It's not for the sake of getting crowns and all these things. What Paul is referring here is not about that, but it's being the partaker of the gospel. What does being a partaker of the gospel means? That means you don't preach about the gospel. Your life is in the gospel. You partake the joy of the gospel. When someone came to know the Lord, you feel the joy. You partake the suffering of the gospel. Jesus went through so much so that we have this gospel. So you don't just partake the joy, you also partake the suffering. When people reject us, we feel humiliated, we feel rejected. And this is partaking of the gospel. And this will be true if anyone wants to share the gospel. You're going to partake the both the joy and the suffering and the humiliation. And not just then. The whole life, not just partake, is intertwined with the gospel. That your whole life is becoming the gospel. The next, help me to with the next slide, is lost. There is a professor who teaches about marine life. He mechanically recites the textbook daily, going through the lesson with faded slides to talk about the marine life. He talks about the colorful corals, but all these things become just a bullet points in the presentation. Students struggle to stay awake during the whole lecture, just like you struggle to stay awake in sermon. The professor just mindlessly go through the terms describing the sea, marine life, all these things that he has never seen before. I lost a slide, but try to imagine this. Okay. But one day, this professor decided to go for a dive into the sea. When he dived into the sea, he was able to see the sunlight to pierce into the ocean floor. He was able to see the beauty. When he reached out to the coral reef, he can feel the facts from the textbook became so alive. He can see the school of fishes swimming before him. All these are more than just the facts from the boring text. It became alive to him. He stood in amaze by the breathtaking beauty before him. After the dive, he went back to his classroom and teach. And the student proclaimed, "Teachers, you're very different right now." And with a smile, he responded, "I no longer study the ocean, but I've become a very part of it. I'm so amazed by the beauty of it." I think this is the essence of gospel. You don't just preach about the gospel. You have to be captivated by it. You have really to be captivated. If not, your gospel is just merely words without captivation, without amazement. You need to be intertwined. You need to partake of this gospel. You need to feel the love of God before you tell someone God loves you. Let's come before the Lord. I think in this moment, preaching can become a burden, or preaching the gospel can become an obligation until and unless you have been captivated by it. And one way to be captivated by the gospel, the love of it, is to look at the cross and wonder why and should God die for you in such a manner that we are so undeserving. I want us to come before the Lord, take out your handphone. I want you, if there's someone the Lord has placed into your mind right now, an unbeliever, that probably this week, this month, you want to spend time with him, having meals, I want you to key his name or her name inside. A prayer for that person. And send these names into your DG so that we can be accountable, can be helping to pray for this person. Bring out your handphone right now. If there's someone in your mind, the Lord has remind you that probably you have not taken a step to get to know the person this week, this month, maybe you want to do something different, step out of social circle, your own clique, your own comfort zone. Be willing to adapt. Spend time to listen. For you, maybe a bit of hours. For him, it may be eternity without Christ. So key in the person's name or two, then send in your DG and seal with a word of prayer for this person. May the Lord give you the burden for him, his salvation, and may the Lord move him to see the love of Christ through you. And Alpha is coming in coming October. Pray for this person that you have the chance to invite him for coming Alpha. I think most importantly, you have to be captivated by the love of God in order to share the love of God. And let's rise and pray this prayer together. May this prayer goes into our heart. Let's rise. And as we pray, may the Lord touch our heart and move our heart to love as the Lord loves. Let's pray this together. 1, 2, 3. O Christ, you did all things to become one of us. Let us do all things that I may become like you, a partaker of the gospel, shaped not by applause, but conquered by your love on the cross. Amen. I invite the worship team to come up. Let's spend this time in worship and also in prayer for yourself to be captivated by the love of God and do something for a friend who is not in a social circle, to have meals, to spend time with him over these months, to reach out to him, just as the Lord that reaches out to you.